BSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. To the south of France, Simon Constable, writing for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications, looking at commodities. But we stop first for the climate in the south of France. Simon, a good day to you. It is sunny and cooler in New England. The daffodils, the forsythias, the tulips, all abloom and a normal rain pattern. Rain one day, sunny the next, clouds in and out. The Midwest is having terrific touchdown tornadoes, the kind of tornado from Wizard of Oz. So I come to your climate, which should be perfect. Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Well, nothing is ever as perfect as you would want it to be, but it is near perfect. It's very similar to what you're experiencing here. The range in temperatures today were between 43 Fahrenheit and it's going out to 56, which is not a bad range, and occasional sprinkles outside, but really just sprinkles. And having grown up in the UK, sprinkles rather than constant mist or constant drizzle is really good and really lovely. It will be going to bigger ranges later in the week, though. On Friday, we will have a range from 32, which is freezing point, up to 63. And there will be sun that day, which makes a lot of sense. And then some sun over the weekend as well. So looking forward to that with no rain.
To markets, Financial Times, VIX, fear gauge. This is a metric that people buy when they're frightened of the future. VIX fear gauge soars on Middle East tension and interest rate shift. Volatility index at highest since October as investors step up protection against downside risk to equities and commodities. So over to you, Simon. What is Brent crude? What is natural gas? Any movement at all?
Well, after the attack by Iran on Israel that basically failed, we saw the price of Brent crude dropping down. So it had been up to well over 91, and now it's right back down to 89. Now, these might not sound like big numbers, but we're talking about an enormous market here and a very important market. So if it moves a dollar or two, that's a big deal. But it's still high compared to when we go back to late last year. It was low at around, close to 70. So it's come up a long way as the global economies improved. And then it got really worrying as there were concerns that the fighting in the Middle East would spread region-wide and sort of envelop what was happening in the region. That accounts for about 40% of the world's oil. So that's what's happening there. It's not great, but if it doesn't go too much further, that will be fine. I suspect it will go further. And then we've got other things like natural gas in the European Union is 32 euros per European megawatt hour. And that's down from what was 54 back in October last year as we were heading into the winter. I don't think much is going to have changed what would happen with natural gas because Europe isn't getting it from the Middle East. Largely, it's largely looking to other places like the US or North Africa. And then not much difference with wheat, with soybeans, with corn. They're just hovering around where they were, which seems to be a little bit below their production costs. And fortunately for us here in France, diesel prices are still below 2 euros a litre. So I'm very happy with that, but I don't expect it to last long.
Mentioning supply lines, the merchant ship attacks by the Houthis and that hijacking of a container ship by what we're told are IRGC elements. That is a story that has long been at risk. And we have a quote from Bloomberg. As long as the war in Gaza is going on, at a minimum, you're going to see continued Houthi strikes against shipping, also strikes on American and UK warships. So what we have here is the unknown, not just the price of oil, but about the ships in the Red Sea and in general, worldwide, transport ships. Simon, I'm most interested in inflation, and that story in the U.S. is often argued this way or that way. You've seen that the ECB is talking about making a cut in some fashion because Germany's economy is estimated in 24 at 0.2, Simon, 0.2.
Even the UK. For the whole year. We should point that out. That is for the whole year. This is like watching paint dry to see if it grows. That is pretty bad.
The UK is at 0.5, so we can't do anything about Germany. Let's go to the UK. Supply chain is inflation. Oil is inflation. Fear is inflation. And government spending is inflation. The inflation story back in the UK just got worse. Do I say that correctly, Simon?
Well, it's not as good as expected. It's getting a bit better, but I don't think it lasts long. And I think the Bank of England is very aware that if we do see what I expect, which is a further surge in oil prices, then that will see the so-called docile inflation that we're seeing over the last few weeks, that just reverses and goes back up again. And I think the Fed probably knows that as well. Although there's some cognitive dissonance there that they don't understand that oil gets into every part of the economy. And when it's higher priced, it means more inflation. So I don't think this is good. Having to keep interest rates higher, which the Bank of England says it wants to do, and there seems to be some hints coming from the Federal Reserve about that too. And so we'll see that higher, and that will take money out of businesses' pockets and household pocketbooks. Not good either way. So you get slowing economy and inflation really not going anywhere at a worst case scenario.
The election in the United States gets a lot of attention, good heavens, all the time. The election in Great Britain, some attention, but I want to underline the fact that we're looking at a sea change here. Labour, according to the polls, is overwhelmingly favoured, and an election that could give results similar to 97 and Tony Blair. So we need to look at the Labour personalities. Keir Starmer, the leader of Labour, is well-known, big-shouldered lawyer, very careful, disciplinarian. Who is Angela Rayner? She gets a great deal of attention in London, sometimes called Red Rayner. Who is she? What does she represent in Labour? Her role is deputy leader. What does that mean, Simon?
Well, I mean, she's number two to Keir Starmer, who is basically the prime minister in waiting now. He's on the opposition benches. That's the official title. He's the leader of the opposition. The UK Parliament does have no pretense of the other side helping the other one, you know, between the two of each other. So they're meant to attack the ruling party, and he'll be likely in that suit very soon. She's number two to him. He tends to be what I would call centre-left by British standards, and she calls herself basically a socialist, the soft left, which probably would be eye-raising for a lot of Americans. It's a lot more left-wing than they could probably imagine. But she's an important woman. She's called Red Rayner because she has red hair, and she's very much up there, front and centre, and making her presence felt and really being savvy for a lot of things for her party. I'm not saying I would agree with them, but she's up there doing her thing, and she'll probably be Keir Starmer's henchman when Keir Starmer is elected, as seems completely probable.
And is she going to return the blue wall to Scotland? Yes or no? We have a little few seconds.
Absolutely, she's going to return the blue wall to Scotland. It will be very interesting. The Scottish National Party will be basically kicked out en masse. Not all of them, but a heck of a lot of Scottish National representatives will be gone.
Simon Constable in the south of France. I'm John Rush.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.